Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bruce Levine joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Hey, Bruce.
Morning, Bruce.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Promises and apologies are all about what happened yesterday in both White Sox and Cubs camp. Where would you like to begin today?
Well, we should begin by mentioning, because we were talking about draft pick compensation or loss of draft picks if you violate the salary cap. It's you lose positions in the draft, right? You move down 10 spots if you go over.
Yeah, if you spend more than $237 million, right. You can drop as far as 10 spots. You don't lose the draft pick until you start signing too many what's called qualifying players, but you move down in the draft.
And Bruce, what we were talking about was with Chris Bryant, you know, this proposal that's gaining steam somehow that they're going to trade him straight up for Nolan Arenado, and, you know, how you're adding more money to a luxury tax situation. It doesn't make a ton of sense. And we had there was a tweet out of a Rockies beat writer saying that the Rockies apparently believe a lot of this is coming from the Cubs in order to jack up the price for teams like Atlanta and Washington and Philadelphia that might be in the mix. So it's hard to read the tea leaves of that. Obviously, Chris Bryant not in camp yet. I don't know when he's coming. Is he coming Sunday, Monday? What's your thoughts?
I believe he's coming today.
No.
That's what I heard. And it doesn't make any sense from this perspective. I've been told that it would be the Cubs or the Cardinals that he would sign off on. You have to remember, he's got to say yes to where he wants to go. He has to say yes to where he's going to spend the next 7 years of his life. So from that perspective, he's in control of everything that goes on here. And if the Cubs are trying to jack it up and he goes to the Cardinals, how does that help them? I mean, he goes to the Cardinals and they're the clear favorite in the National League Central this year and maybe for the next couple with the young pitching that they have there. So I'm not buying into that one.
So Bruce, aside from the competitive situation and how would fitting Nolan Arenado onto your payroll, a guy that makes $35 million,
right,
make sense or be justified or explained?
It'd be very difficult because then what do you tell Javier Baez he's worth, okay? How many $30 million players can you have on one team, no matter what market size you have? Does Schwarber go from 15 million to 20 million when he asks for a long-term contract? How does that affect Wilson Contreras with 3 years of control left? So it becomes extremely convoluted when you bring in somebody that's already making 35 and you tell your own star players, you know what, he's great, but you're not quite as good.
That's interesting. So he has a no trade clause that would allow him to not pick where he's going. Is that what you're saying?
Absolute. Yeah.
And the only team he would approve would be the Cardinals?
Cubs and Cardinals.
Well, he is on the Cubs, right?
Arenado.
Oh, Arenado. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We're talking about.
I thought you were talking about Bryant.
No. Yeah, no.
So Arenado will only go to the Cardinals.
Cubs and Cardinals is what I heard.
Okay. All right.
I mean,
that's
just more intel, you know, whether it's 100% factual today or yesterday and it's not today, I can't tell you, but that's what I was told. And he has to sign off, and then you only have him for 2 years guaranteed, and then he can walk. So there's a lot of moving pieces here that tell you it's a very hard contract for anybody to take, no matter how great the player is.
Let's stick with the Cubs before going to the White Sox. Bruce, yesterday John Lester spoke. What was your biggest takeaway, and what are realistic expectations for him this year?
You know, he won 13 games in a bad year last year, and he had a bad knee. He wouldn't use it as an excuse, but it's a reality. I think knowing him and the shape that he – I mean, he looks in top condition for whatever you take out of that. I know people and you guys are probably rolling your eyes when you hear that because it really doesn't mean much, you know, when it comes to, you know, a guy losing 15 pounds.
Do you have a camera in here, Bruce? Are you watching
what's that?
Are you watching us on camera? Can you tell we're rolling our eyes?
I mean, yeah, you have to, you know, but the reality of a guy reporting in shape at 36, better shape, you know, it might be significant. But on the other hand, the knee was what has to be better. So can he stay physically healthy? Can he give you 32 starts? If he does, he's still a 15-game winner. Now, will the ERA be 3.35 or 4.5? You know, that's a big difference because it also tells you how many games he stays in deep into a ball game and how impactful he is in those starts and how the bullpen is able to set up during those starts. So those are all things you have to look at here. But I think with 1 year left, and he has an option, the Cubs, if he makes 200, if he goes to 200 innings, it's an automatic $25 million contract for him next year. The Cubs have an option, if he doesn't, to buy him out at $10 million. So this could realistically be his last year with the Chicago Cubs. But he's not looking at it that way. And I think for David Ross and the Cubs, I think he's a hugely important pitcher this year to continue to be the guy they can count on every 5 days.
What, when we talk about the reaction to the Houston Astros, what stood out to you yesterday? Was it Keuchel? And and did he kind of, you know, he did so well when he just apologized for it. Did he get himself in a bit of trouble by trying to explain the apology?
No, I don't think so. I think he was the first guy to come out at Sox Fest. And he's a stand-up guy. You know, again, the one thing that bothers me about this whole thing, and I'm sure you guys and most of the listeners have watched, you know, some video of the Astros, you know, apologizing. It seems like they were coached, okay? It seems like everybody...
Not well enough. Same,
right, I agree with you. You know, not buying it, right, Mike?
Yeah.
I mean, and they kept using the same word, remorseful, remorseful, remorseful. Every one of them used that word. I mean, to me, you know, it's kind of like, remember Addison Russell's press conference
yes.
at the beginning of spring
Good
training?
Good comparison, Bruce.
It was so contrived that I think everybody got sick to their stomach from it. There was no human expression in any of their apologies. And I don't necessarily blame them because... They had to be squealers to begin with to get off of the hook, right?
Bruce, I mean, I mean, they were more contrived than contrite. It's easy to say I'm sorry. It's easy to speak from the heart. But you're right. They sounded like they were reading off a script or a game plan from a PR coach that swooped in and said, we're going to try to tell you how to sound like you're sorry. And they didn't sound like they were sorry
I
at
wanted
all.
Someone to cry, okay?
You always do, though, Bruce.
I'm waiting, but you know, in our country, when people apologize and they really show that they are sorry about what they did, we're the most forgiving people in the world, aren't we? But you have to be exactly true. People can read, you know, when you're on script, and that was just horrible. And the owner was even worse, saying that he didn't think that this. Help them win the World Series. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it was the whole thing was a mess, and I think that what you're left with is, you know, we talked about it this morning. If you didn't feel like they should be penalized or lose their have the vacated championship, now you do. After listening
well, look,
to that,
I have a solution for it, and that is go to every city that you travel to this year, go to the public schools, donate money, and each guy. You know, going as a group every time they go to the new city, gets on board with the Do the Right Thing tour and going to schools and showing real remorse and real apology by saying, we did the wrong thing. We were in a power position. This is what you should never do if you're successful.
Yeah.
And it would be a huge deal for Major League Baseball and more importantly, maybe for the players and the Players Association to just do something like that where it's real and something good really comes out of it.
Yeah, because they got $400,000 from a playoff share they didn't earn because they have that money in their pocket. Bruce, let's end on a good note. Nomar Mazara met the media, reported yesterday. What did you learn from him, and how excited are the Sox about him in right field?
Well, you know, they're both Mazara and the White Sox are counting on that second half that he had and the tools that he has. People think, well, yeah, they got this veteran player and, you know, that he's going to be there for a year or two. He's 26 years old. I mean, the future's ahead of him. And he was projected as a superstar when he was signed and developed by the Rangers. Just didn't happen. But with this young group and with the left-handed power, you know, this could be a real find for the Chicago White Sox. So I think, he might be kind of hiding in the bushes a little bit with a lot of, you know, people looking past him for Robert and Jimenez. He might have a monster year in that group, so it'll be fun to watch him this season.
Bruce, thanks a ton. Appreciate it.
All right,
buddy.
Guys.
Weekend, Bruce.
Have a great weekend.
Bruce.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.